You, as some of you know, I have been with you recently and have really, really enjoyed the worship services. And some people say I'm old-fashioned. Well, if I'm old-fashioned, I'm old-fashioned. I know I'm 75, I look 55, but that's not my fault. But anyway, here we are, and we're going to be sharing the screen with you today, of course, because of the different nationalities, language, backgrounds. And me being a photographer, I'm an image person, and I am standing up now, too. A couple of weeks ago, I had to preach at Parkcrest, and I didn't sit down. I didn't do a very good job sitting down because I get excited. Now, I don't apologize for that, and it's not put on. It's my character. And when I'm talking about Jesus, I have to stand up. And so I'm going to share the screen with you at this time. And we practiced last week a bit, and we'll just make sure that everything's going okay here. Move this to one side. Okay, now let me just see. Share screen. Let's just, I've got to move this to one side. Okay, 1 minute. Here we go. Once I get the thing, there we go. Now, let's see. I think this is going to do it. Now. Okay, now. I think we're up and running now. Is that true?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to this time with you and to speak with you. You know, I really appreciate 16th, and I really want to tell you that I enjoy being with you, whether I'm outside or whether I'm inside. I like to be with you, and we go back a few years. But the reason I'm here this morning, because I finally found the answer to what you're going to say. Well, how do we get through this pandemic? I mean, there's so much going on. And why I'm so glad to be with you, because I love you people. Now, I know you don't say that in North America, and you're going to say I'm a little strange saying that I love you. But I do. I love you as brothers and sisters in the Lord, each one of you. Now, I have beside me, for instance, this book. Can I read it and look at it? I don't know all your names. But over the years, we've been involved. Isn't it nice to see Harold on his knees? Anyway, as I was saying before I rudely interrupted myself, it's great to be with you. And this message is for each and every one of you, because I really personally feel that I have found the answer. And of course, the answer is found in the Word of God. And that's so important. So important. It's in the Word of God. Now, the answer came to me through Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 31. And of course, we all know the story. Here we have two disciples walking along, going from Jerusalem up to Emmaus. They had been in Jerusalem, probably for the Passover. And poof, out of the blue, a stranger came. Now, I want to talk to you about the stranger on the road to Damascus. I want to Emmaus. I have my wife here. Thank you, Gloria. You know, we can't do without our wives, can we? Anyway, we're going to talk about the stranger. Now, who is here? Who was the stranger on the road to Damascus? Emmaus. Thank you. I don't know why I have Damascus in the head. So we're going to find out, discover the man and the message. And this is the answer he gives us in this story, how to get through this pandemic. Now, the verses, we're not going to read them all. Matter of fact, I'm going to show a clip. And I hope that you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the clip. And it's going to tell us the story between these verses instead of reading it. But this afternoon, when you get a chance, I would encourage you to read it. So just sit back. It's only a few minutes, and I hope you'll enjoy this.
What manner of communications are these that you have one to another? As you walk and us sat, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known of the things which are come to pass there in these days? What things? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?
Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.
Our Father, we offer thanks for thy bounties. Amen.
Amen. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
We must return to Jerusalem this very hour.
Wow, wow, what does that do for you? That gives me goose pimples. Every time I watch that, of course, I have to practice my message. I don't find it always easy in English to preach because I do speak in French and Spanish sometimes. But anyway, every time I look at that film, I get goosebumps. But I hope that gives you the idea of what happened. And I love the English in it. It was really refreshing. But anyway, what I'd like to say to you, that undoubtedly, these two disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were at the Passover. And while they were there, they had witnessed and heard all the events about the surrounding of the crucifixion of Jesus. And as I said, they were just walking back slowly, walking, and it's about 7 miles or 7 kilometers, one of the two, the distance between the two places. And as they were walking along, all of a sudden appears somebody. Well, they really weren't knowledgeable who this person was. Now, you and I, of course, especially during this time, we wouldn't be walking along, somebody would join us. Even in North America, in general, you're walking down the street, nobody would come up to you and just meet with you. But in Argentina and Quebec, if you're walking down the street and somebody comes out, they say, "Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted?" And you say, "Venga," and you'd be talking. So this was a common thing. But he hid himself Jesus, the stranger, who's not a stranger to us, he hid himself. And the two disciples didn't recognize Jesus. And the text implies, the text, because it's the Bible that counts, the text implies that Jesus was the one who had blinded them to his identity. As the passage progresses, it's pretty easy to understand why Jesus did that. Had he revealed himself at that point, those two disciples would have not heard a word that Jesus was saying to them. They would have wanted to talk to him about the crucifixion and the resurrection. So he kept his identity a secret from them. Now, one of the disciples, Cleopas, apparently thinks that this stranger had probably just been visiting Jerusalem for the Passover, as they did. But he couldn't believe that he hadn't heard about this man named Jesus who had been crucified. The stranger asked the question, and it was very interesting, the question. And the answers comes to us from verses 19 to 24, which reveals why it was necessary for this stranger to open their eyes. He opened their eyes. You know, because as the disciples said that their Jewish religious leaders had arranged for the crucifixion of Jesus. And most important, he reveals that they had hoped that Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, they were hoping that he would redeem Israel. They were hoping that he would take over from the Roman domination. And Jesus was very strong. If you look at it closely, he was relatively strong on it. He actually calls them fools. And he said, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." Now, that's a pretty strong word. That's not politically correct. Don't call anybody a fool today. You might get thrown into prison. But in that time, the word didn't mean quite exactly what we take it as meaning. And it is very interesting as we read about it. Oh, foolish ones. The Bible uses the word fool a bit different than we use it today. And that's why it's interesting to study the words and go to Vine's Concordance sometimes and look up the words. And it's not quite as forceful in the time of Jesus, but it did mean that they did not understand the Bible. They didn't understand the Bible. They were ignorant of the Bible. They probably heard it, because if you look at it, the words, "O fool, hath said in his heart, there is no God." So the word is used over and over in Scripture. And these disciples were called fools. Now, when you look at the whole thing of it, you know, it wasn't that these disciples, these men, had never heard the Scriptures. I'm sure they've been to the synagogue many times and heard the Scriptures read. And as the rabbi would take the Scriptures and read the Scriptures, I'm sure they heard it. And it certainly it wasn't that they'd never been to the synagogue, because they were very religious men. And the Scriptures were taught in the synagogue, were read in the synagogue. The problem is that their understanding of the Scripture was incomplete. That's the problem, their understanding. You know, the Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. We are to take the word of God and we are to study the word of God. And that is so, so important. But you know, these poor disciples, I mean, they were so upset, so afraid, so full of anxiety. Why? Because they wanted the Roman Empire to be overthrown by Jesus, and the tyranny of the Roman Empire, and they wanted Jesus to establish his kingdom on earth here and put God's people in the rightful position. Well, didn't happen that way. They didn't understand Scripture. Now, we are so fortunate. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have the full revelation of God. So we have it. But you know, their dreams, It seemed to all crash down like a deck of cards, like dominoes. All of their hopes, all of their, we could say it, esperanza, all of their espoir, all of their desires. Because Jesus was dead, according to them. But he wasn't. And that's the exciting thing about it. He wasn't. You know, when you think of today and what we're going through, many people's hopes, many people's desires are broken. People are full of broken dreams and crushed hopes. People's desires have been washed away because of the pandemic. Now, how can we get through this? Well, we're going to see that. That's why I'm with you this morning, to tell you how we can get through this. You know, when you listen to Jesus, the man, the stranger, who was Jesus, of course, we knew who he was. They didn't know who he was yet. But the man looked over to Caiaphas and said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" See, this stranger, we're talking about himself, how that Jesus died on the cross. And if we look to Jesus, we will have that hope. I'm not going to sing it because you'll turn me off your screen right now. But we used to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." No, I won't sing it. I know some of you are getting scared there. But you know, it's the risen Jesus whose identity was hidden from these two men. The risen Jesus begins to walk with them through the scripture to refocus and refresh their hope. The two words, scripture and walking. They walked with Jesus through the scriptures. That's the secret I'm telling you. That's how we're going to get through this pandemic. If we walk with Jesus through the scriptures, we're going to be able to pass all of the trials and testings that we're going through right now. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, we are to walk with Jesus. The hope Jesus gave to these disciples is the hope that the living Jesus has given to you and me. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus has walked with them. He's walking with you right now. We have to get into the scripture. We have to walk with Jesus through the scripture daily, and we're going to be able to get through this, and we're going to be able to help our neighbors. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the next meeting. But when we have this hope, when we have our dreams shattered, when we see the positive in us, and there is positiveness, it's hard to believe, but there is. Yes, we are to walk. Jesus gives us hope. And that's where it all comes from, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. I drive down the road often and I sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Oh, I think people must think I've been drinking or drugs or something, but I love Jesus and he's helping me get through this. I'm a mover and a groover. I don't like to be in my home. When we came back from Argentina a couple of months ago, we had to stay here 15 days. But now I can't see my family and my friends like I would like to, but I have hope. And Jesus gives me the hope. You know, Jesus says to us, he wants to walk with us. You know, walking with Jesus is so important. But as we walk with Jesus through the scriptures, we don't need psychologists and psychiatrists. We don't need all this things on the news, how to get over this. If we walk with Jesus, we can get through this. And if we learn of the hope that Jesus gave in the Word of God, he gives us that hope. You know, even though loved ones are dying, people are dying. Yes, I know that. And it's hard for me. I have nobody that I know that have died yet, but I have friends of friends who people have died. It's not easy. But we can take the hope that we have and share with them as we walk through the scripture. Hope is so important. Hope for the hopeless. I mean, we have so much hope that we should not be egoistic, but we share our hope with the hopeless. And that hope will help them get through. You know, the scripture tells us very distinctly, and in Isaiah, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten. And this is so we can have that hope. So as we walk, Jesus is there saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, walk with me, Jesus said. No, he walked where you and I walked. No, in the first month, when we could get out after we were quarantined for 15 days, my wife and I would walk around the block, a block. I had to do something. I was going, I was going nuts. I was going crazy. But you know, it was nice to walk with Gloria, because as we walked around, sure, after 54 years, hand in hand, walking around the block, talking, see, she knows me and I know her. I know where she's been. She knows where I've been. I know where she's going. She knows where I'm going. And that's the same with Jesus. That's why we can walk with him. He knows all about you. He knows where you've been, where you're going, and he's been where you are right now. He's had sorrow in his life. He had disappointment in his life. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But if we walk with Jesus, we can get through this. Yes, hope is so important. Well, it may have appeared, it appeared to the disciples that the cross crushed any hope the disciples ever had. It seemed like that. It was actually just the opposite. Yeah, it was the opposite. The cross gave them a hope that was better than they could ever have imagined. And that hope is our hope. The cross gave them the hope. The cross showed that Jesus rose from the dead after the cross. Easter was different this year, wasn't it? And yet still, we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for everybody's sin. He died, but he rose again, and we will rise again too. Punishment from God to Jesus replaced peace with God. We have peace with God because Jesus was punished for our sins. Fear replaced with forgiveness. I'm forgiven today because of what Christ did for me. It is so important that we share this with our friends. Yes, we are going through some very difficult times. You sometimes hear people talk about their hopes and dreams for the future are completely shattered. Yes, they are shattered. People without the Lord Jesus Christ, their hopes are shattered. Those whose weddings have been postponed, those mothers having new baby and maybe the father couldn't be with her. No one could be with her. She had her newborn baby all alone. She couldn't celebrate. What about young people who are supposed to graduate this year? 12 years in school, graduation. Whoopee! Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Special birthdays, anniversaries, shattered. But we have the hope, and we must share that hope. And my desire is as we walk with him. Did you notice what Jesus did when the hope of those two disciples gone off track? I mean, they're walking along. Can you imagine walking along, discouraged, upset? Where did Jesus take those two disciples? It says he took them for a walk through Scripture. This is the power of God. This is what is going to get us through this epidemic. This is what is going to get us through. This is going to refocus and refresh our hope. Yes? So important. Hope. Hope. Yes? Walk with Jesus through the Scriptures. You know what? That's all right if you know Jesus, but there's people out there that don't know Jesus. And next meeting, we're going to share with you how we can maybe get to those people. Sure, we can't go up to them and put our arm around them and say, God loves you. But there's other ways we can do that. Other ways we can do that. Yes, Jesus brings hope. and you can bring hope to people also. We also need those regular walks with Jesus through the scriptures. Through the scriptures. Don't we? I certainly need it. I've been studying the Bible for over 60 years, and I still need it. I need it every day. I have to get into the scriptures. And the scriptures bring hope. And your dreams, your ability, your ambitions, bring them to Jesus. I mean, who better to walk with? As I said, it's good to walk with somebody who knows you. And Jesus knows you, and he wants to walk with you. Jesus is there, and his arm is wide open, and he's saying, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I trust that as you think on these things, that you will go to Jesus, and that you will be able to enjoy him as the way you should. We'll just turn off the sharing of the screen now, and I'll come back to you live. Okay, here we are. Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll go have our coffee. I'm going to have my mate, and we'll pray together, and then we'll get together a little later on, and I'll turn it over to Harold. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus for this short time together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we should take these walks with you daily through the scriptures. And Father, we thank you for these two disciples going to Emmaus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, what it means to us that Jesus joined with them. Jesus wants to join with us. Jesus wants to be with us. And Jesus wants to be our helper. And Jesus wants to give us that hope that we need. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Harold.